This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. There you go. Mixing up 230, oh, 230. 90s 230 or 230 grunge. Every time you play one of these songs, I see the same Ike face. By I know. The way. What the hell is that?
Not a fan.
Literally every time.
Hey.
You weren't a Nirvana's man?
It's not been all bad. Y'all introduced me to some different music I haven't heard.
There you go. You know, Jack's recent getting back into grunge has pushed me back into listening to it again.
Yeah.
And that playlist that I made for Jack, the 90s playlist that he doesn't listen to.
I listened to it on Friday.
I spent a lot of time. I added a bunch of songs to it. Yeah. But I listen to it all the time now, at least if he doesn't listen to it.
You made him a playlist?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah.
In our spare times. We make playlists for each other.
Like a personal playlist or for here?
No, personal playlist. Because he was getting into these grunge bands, and
he gave him the real...
Yeah, I was like, hey, have you heard this by Alice in Chains?
I know.
Have you heard this? He was like, no. All right, I got to put this together. I lived it.
I'm a rock radio guy.
Yeah, so you know the four songs.
Only the hits.
Yeah, only the hits. So there's some other good tunes, you know, that when we were on YSP, everybody would say, you don't play the deep cuts or whatever. So I gave them to Jack. The Twitter question is brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks is looking for artisans who are detail-oriented and have a passion for making people's dreams come true. Apply online at marks-jewelers.com. Here is the question, Ike. Let me know what you think people answered it, how people answered it. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, is who bats leadoff for the Phillies really that big a deal? Yes or no?
It's a good question. I'm trying to think of where most fans would go.
Do you want me to tell you what the correct answer is? Is yes, is the correct answer.
Oh, so they...
No, I'm just... That isn't what they... Oh, okay. I'm just saying for me, that is obviously...
Well, of course it is. Yeah, of course that's the correct answer. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if these fans are just like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it's close to 50-50. So I'll go 57% says, yes, it does matter.
It is 50.3% say no, 49.7%
so 50-50.
Say
no. I knew it was 50-50.
Of course it matters. you know, I think it... So it matters in a... So here is, by the way, here's what Dave Dombrowski said today about the lineup. And we already played you what Rob Thompson said. He's like, you know, I'm still figuring it out. There's only two options here.
He said they're fighting their way through.
They're fighting their way through.
Which is an odd way to talk about writing out a lineup.
Yes, yeah, fighting your way through it. Here's what Dave Dombrowski said. And the more I hear from Dave Dombrowski, the more I question, I can look at his record and say, Dave Dombrowski has obviously been the general manager of successful baseball teams.
Uh-huh.
But then the more I hear him talk, and he's thoughtful and honest when he talks.
He's had a bad couple months.
Like, since the end of the year.
The end of the season press conference I thought was a disaster.
Was atrocious.
I thought he was great with the morning show. Like, the way he explained it, I felt at least made sense.
Yeah.
But it's like they don't know what the message. They don't know what the messaging should be.
So here's what he said about the lineup. You'd be surprised how insignificant it is.
Well, that's a hell of a way to start it off.
I'm, you know, I just.
Well, if it's so insignificant, then why does Rob...
Well, why are you dicking around with
it? Yeah, like, yeah, why do we have to do the whole lefty-righty thing and do all of this stuff if it's so insignificant?
If it's so insignificant, why do you have two starting lineups then?
Yeah.
Then why are you then why don't you have a little guts and tell us from the beginning of this that it doesn't matter, do what you're going to do, instead of acknowledging that it does... They've acknowledged that it matters, at least... By accident, by having Trey Turner lead off some of the time.
Sure. So, well, what if like they don't want to announce a leadoff hitter? So when they are changing it back and forth, it's like, well, hold on, why are you deviating from the plan? You know what I mean? Like, what benefit do they get out of saying that Trey is a leadoff hitter? Because if they want to go back and forth,
no, they're
Well, who's
not...
the element of surprise for?
Well, it's a competitive advantage,
right? No, it's they are preparing.
For which side?
I don't know.
I agree with you. They're preparing people, and they're preparing people for not doing it. That is what they're doing, because there's more right-handed pitchers than there are left-handed pitchers. So we're going to see Kyle Schwarber leading off more than Trey Turner.
Yep.
And the thing that is, and I said this in the first segment, this isn't just a deal. It's a huge deal. And it's a huge deal because I want to like just paint the picture for everyone, because it seems like we have forgotten what it felt like at the end of last season when we watched this team go down to the Mets basically without a fight. I mean, they won one game.
It was a whimper.
They didn't have a chance in that series.
It was a whimper.
And what everyone talked about, this is what it just, I want you to remember this. What everyone talked about was chasing, was not battling through when they're not hot.
Yeah.
And their current, the way that they have the lineup constructed, this was a lineup built for, we're going to get hot and we're going to bash the hell out of you. But nobody in that lineup understood the responsibility of being a hitter when you're not hot. And when you're not hot, the object isn't to try to get hot. The object is to try to battle through those times, to wait for... Look, when everybody's hitting home runs, that's when it doesn't matter what order you're in, right?
Yeah.
When everybody's hitting home runs. But when everybody's not hitting home runs, it does matter. And the one player that I would point... It's not Bryce, mm-hmm. and it's not... Schwarber, really, and it's not Bohm, it's Trey Turner. Trey Turner is the guy, and again, I want to paint this picture for you. Imagine that you need a base hit, and you see him one arm swinging for the fences. Changing that guy's approach and telling him, you are accountable for getting on base and going first to third on a single and going second to home on a single, maybe stealing a base. You are accountable for making sure everybody else in the lineup knows what our mission is. And by automatically giving him an out, maybe the second game of the year, when we're facing a righty, mm-hmm. and saying, well, you don't have to be that Trey anymore. You can go back to being, everybody in the lineup can go back to being the team that lost to the Diamondbacks and the team that lost to the Mets. That's fine. They're telling us that's okay and it's good enough. And they're telling the players, your approach last year was good enough. They didn't make any change in the roster. They didn't make any change in the coaches. They didn't make any change in the manager. And now they're not making any change in the lineup. And how are we supposed to imagine this is any different than it was the year before?
They've run out of answers. They've run out of ways to try to explain or fix whatever the issues are, because they also realize these players are who they are, and there's not a whole lot that's going to change with them. This has always felt to me like we'll give it a shot for a split second, but and you know why I've always felt that they're eventually going to go back to Schwarber? Because they remind us that they won a lot of ball games with Schwarber in the leadoff spot. So that was always a tagline whenever talking about this. We won a lot of ball games with that guy up there in the leadoff spot. So just look at it from their perspective, and I'm not saying I agree with them. It's the ability to see what's coming. They almost had that as a crutch, as something to fall back on when – things aren't going well. They could say, you know what? We got to go back to what we know best, which is putting him up there at the leadoff spot and letting Schwarber do what he does. And the sad part about this, Spike, is that they're going to still win their fair amount of games. They're going to win 90 plus games this year. I'd be surprised if they don't make the playoffs. But once we get there, will it be good enough? And I think this is all a prelude to us being disappointed at the end of the season, at the end of the season. And I hate having this defeatist attitude. But that's where I'm at with this, because there hasn't been anything here to tell me I should think any other way.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But I think their at-bats have looked better. So, like, okay. If our whole thing is going
to
be...
How the hell am I supposed to... When things aren't...
You're not grinding
great,
on MLB.com, the feed, and watching the games?
And spring training. I don't know. Should I put any credence to what they're
when
doing?
When they're good, it does matter. Yes. And when it's bad, it doesn't matter. But
exactly.
But when we're talking about changing approach, we know. But, like, that doesn't... That's,
and you saying they have done this?
Well, I think so. They're leading the Grapefruit League in walks. Ooh, I was gonna lead the Jackie Baseball segment with that, but I have to break it out now.
Throw it out now.
Yeah. Set fire to it when you say it. Here's, you know what? Let's go to Dan, and then I'll tell you what spring training means and why it doesn't mean anything. Actually,
it actually matters a lot.
It doesn't. 215.
My favorite time of the year.
215-592-9494. Dan and Ridley, you're on WIP. What's up, Dan?
Hey, Ike, Spike, Fritz, how you guys doing?
Dan.
What up, Dan?
What up, brother?
Listen, as much as it pains me, I told Jack, I kind of got to agree with him a little bit. Because
but why does it pain you? Hold on. Yeah. Let's lock in here, Dan.
It pains me to agree with Jack. I mean, most of the time I'm with Ike and Spike. But, you know, last 3 years, remember with Schwarber leading off, we won a World Series. I know we've gotten there. We've made playoffs. Tinkering with the lineup is, as you've said, the only thing left to do.
Yeah.
But it's kind of early before the season even starts to, you know, like...
Well, let me ask you this, Dan.
It's a bad idea. Go ahead.
If that's what they feel, then tell us to shut up, and they're going to do what they've been doing because it's been successful for them to a degree.
My answer would be to that, Ike, is if they tell you shut up, you're going to listen anyway?
No, but... no.
Listen, it is what it is. This is the way they've been. Nothing's changed. And listen, it's 162 games. Hey, maybe it actually works when you put Turner up there and he actually plays like the player he's been in the past. Not here, but in the past. That they ended up, again, overpaying $300 million. That's an overpay, but, you know, they gave it to him. Because of his track record, again, hasn't produced here.
Sure.
Other than, you know, somebody, you know, giving him a standing ovation, but.
Again, starting shortstop in the All-Star game, hit .295.
Oh, great. Starting shortstop. Wasn't Bohm the starting third baseman? How confident you are in Bohm?
Bohm was playing a good last year.
All right, okay.
Good player.
Dan, for next question today, based on Peyton Manning's birthday, give us somebody's great at two things.
All right, well, I said this would be a Mount Rushmore, but. Maybe just for the local people or anybody that knows Ike, I'd say Ike Reese, man.
Aww.
Oh, that's a big answer.
That is a big answer, Dan. That's a great answer, Dan.
Dan, pandering.
Nick Saban used to kill me by how stiff I was.
Wow. This guy, Dan, went to the Bryce Harper School of Pandering.
Love it.
Unbelievable.
Big answer.
I appreciate it not taking till 4:30 for somebody to say it.
Say Ike, yes. Ike, why don't you tell everybody about Tasty Cake, and then I will tell you the problem with the spring training thing.
Okay.
And actually, Dan's call that irritated me a little bit. No offense, Dan. Go ahead.
It's all good. Well, you guys know Tasty Cake has a treat for every John. That was closer.
You did it.
I felt that.
You got it. You got it.
I acknowledged it immediately.
Yes.
Sounded right. Hey, peanut butter fans have candy cakes, the chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. Now, you like the simple classics? I know my kids do. Crimpets are light sponge cakes topped with rich icing. Now, donut lovers, they have options for days. You got frosted mini donuts. My favorite, the powdered mini donuts. And you can't forget about the delicious new Dippin' Sticks flavors. Now, I mean, there are so many uniquely satisfying treats to choose from, but that's no surprise because it's Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
All right. Two things.
Yes.
First of all, on Jack's point about the Phillies doing the right things during spring training, walking more than any other Grapefruit League team, it does signify something. But here is what it makes me think of, is that when you're trying to change something, sports or anything that's a habit, as soon as there is pressure, what happens is you go back to what is comfortable
for you.
You
revert to what you know.
So it's super easy in the Grapefruit League, when the stats don't matter, when the wins and losses don't matter, to do everything that your coaches are telling you that you need to do for things to change. But then as soon as it matters, and there's 45,000 people in the stands, and there's a real pitcher throwing real pitches, really trying to get you out, not working on stuff, you're just going to go back to what you did before. And to me, what the lineup does is it reminds everyone in the lineup, it's a reminder, hey, don't do it the way that you did it before. Let's show them something different. Let's show them something that we're capable of being different. But if the lineup is the same, there's more of a chance that everyone is going to revert to what they were doing before.
Exactly.
And then the thing that Dan said, and it's what alarms me, and I want to tell you, because I know people are listening to me and saying, well, you're being negative, you hate, blah, 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 blah.
No.
I expect that this team should be able to win the World Series. The Philadelphia Phillies have enough good players to win the World Series if they are able to get a little bit out of their comfort zone and be able to battle through the things they have not been able to be able to battle through the last 2 years. They weren't able to battle through it in the second half of last year. They weren't able to battle through it through the Met series last year. And that is getting guys on base. And I keep going back to that first game against Kodai Senga and the Mets. Kodai Senga, after he allowed that home run to Schwarber, didn't want to throw strikes to anyone. Nobody. But nobody wanted to take pitches. Everybody just wanted to hit home run after home run after home run when Schwarber did it. The Schwarber thing at the top of the lineup reminds them of the thing that we want to try to beat out of them. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Jack. The lineup doesn't matter when they're all hitting. That's when the lineup doesn't matter. But the lineup does matter when they're not hitting home runs. And what I don't, and then what Dan said, and this is what worries me, is I think people are just throwing their hands up in the air because they've given up. And this team is too good, and they're too expensive, and they got too close to just give up and put your hands in the air and go, this is just who they are. They are better than who we saw against the Mets. They are better than who we saw in the second half of last year. They are better than what we saw in game 6 and 7 at home against the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have the capability of winning the World Series. And we should not allow them to drift back into the same bad habits that have prevented them from doing it the last 2 years. And it's just like they are too comfortable. That is the problem. It was the problem last year. It's the problem the offseason. It's the problem this year. They shouldn't be so comfortable. 215-592-9494. Nick in Exton, you're on WIP.
Spike, Ike, been a while since the sit-in.
What's up? Oh,
what's
up, Nick?
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Living, and now that it's baseball time, it is time to thrive, let me tell you.
Yes. Let's
okay.
thrive.
Many
brother.
People say that.
Yes.
Yeah. Me, at least. I don't know anyone else that does.
Nah, we're all going to thrive. Well, hopefully the Phillies do.
But speaking of the Phillies, I am sort of on your side, Spike. The lineup is a big issue, but I don't think it's the most important issue to have. Especially, like you said, when no one's hitting. It really doesn't matter who's being put up on top. However, sorry, when they are hitting, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
However, when everyone else is not hitting, top of the lineup, bottom lineup, it really matters who sets the stage for everything going forward.
It does. And I think Schwarber setting the stage is the wrong message to send. We saw what happened in game 1 against the Mets, right? Schwarber did what he does. Yeah. And then everyone else tried to do what Schwarber did. I know, Jack, I've said this before too. You said, well, they lead off at the beginning of the game, but then they don't lead off again. And that's true. Well, unless they're not hitting. But the truth is that those guys after Trey are always hitting after Trey. So it's always important for him to try to get on base for the other guys. And I worry about not just not having Trey at the beginning of the lineup, but having Schwarber at the beginning of the lineup. Having a guy that hits a home run that everybody else, instead of trying to knock a guy in, is also trying to hit a home run like he is. I've never seen a more natural cleanup hitter than Kyle Schwarber. That guy is a cleanup hitter. Let's not try to reinvent baseball. I know we all did that 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But let's not try to reinvent baseball. The big, burly home run hitter hits fourth. The fast guy who hits 300 leads off.
Yep.
And you can do whatever you want with all the other stuff. I think Bryce Harper should hit two because he's going to get more at-bats. Fine. If you want to hit him, hit three. The fast guy who hits 300 who should lead off, and the big, burly guy who hits 40 home runs should hit cleanup. And that's what they should. They should at least try it. And they're already telling us they're barely even going to try it. It's not. They're not going to do it till July. They're not even going to do it through
it might
March.
Last Friday.
Yeah.
It'll last till Friday.
Yes. They're going to do it through March.
I mean, not Friday. Well, Saturday's the second game.
Yes, right. They have off.
Turner's going to lead off Thursday.
Oh, great.
Right.
And then he'll lead off Thursday, and we won't see him again until next home opening.
Right. It's like, come on, guys. Give us something. Give us something to believe that things are different.
Well, I tell you what they have given us. They've given us something to hone in on, yes.
Right. They have. They've given us the point of contention.
Yes.
So, Nick, why don't you give us somebody that is great at two things?
So first, one real thing, one quick thing.
Yes, sir.
Honestly, I don't even think Trey is the best leadoff. It might be better even to go Stott because he might.
No. Every day these Stott people. Every day with the Stott stuff.
I'm okay with Stott as long as Stott can prove 2 months into the season. You know what the ultimate thing would be if Stott's hitting 290 a month into the season, having Stott hit two. And Bryce hit three, and that way the bottom of your lineup can that way you can have Bohm hit five, Castellanos hit six. All of a sudden, your lineup is a lot more.
But you can't have lefty lefty.
Oh yeah, God forbid. Yeah, I don't want to do that yeah.
again. I don't know why we get so worked up about. Why do you want lefties hitting back to back?
Matter of fact, it would be lefty lefty lefty.
Uh oh.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Yeah, okay.
Like it's a bit like I don't know why that's so crazy.
No, you'd be surprised how little lineup construction
matters. Well,
it matters
when you're talking about having three straight lefties so you can set up late in the game. Like, what are we doing?
Nick, I love Stott too. I do want to see some proof that Stott's not going to hit 240 again before we have him leading off. But as far as his approach is the right approach, right? He sees more, at least to my eye, he sees more pitches than anybody else. So
he sees more pitches, and he doesn't swing in the dirt on a right-handed sinker. So
right. Unlike Trey, yes.
But for my answer for someone good at two things, I hate to say it, but I really enjoy him as a broadcaster, and I have since he sort of became one, Tom Brady.
You enjoy really? Him as a broadcaster?
I know, that's a wild one.
But. Yeah.
Really?
Thank you for the call, Nick. I
might be one of the few people I've heard say that.
I didn't think he was bad. I just thought he was boring. I don't think he didn't say anything.
I agree. Yeah, I didn't get anything out of TB12 this year. I really didn't.
Was he? I think I remember him being.
He called the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. And I thought
I definitely didn't get anything out of him from the Super Bowl.
I thought he was better in the last, like in the last part of the year. Mm-hmm. But now knowing, just thinking about the fact that he's a Raiders owner,
right? He's working different angles.
Yeah,
well, he's not criticizing. Remember, he didn't. What is it? He wouldn't criticize the coaches that he was
interviewing?
He couldn't say
somebody's name.
He couldn't say Ben Johnson's name because he's trying to hire him.
Yeah.
Well, and you have to wonder what's going through his head, and does he really want it to be on tape, him being critical of somebody that he's going to want to sign or he's going to want to hire? So
total conflict of interest here, man.
Yeah. I didn't think he was bad. Like, does he have a Raiders worm?
He wasn't like Jason Witten.
No, Witten was the worst.
He was terrible.
Witten was terrible.
Witten and Booger? That was a tough
crew right there. Well, we had the Booger Mobile.
Yeah. That's high quality. They could not get that booth right until they hired Buck and Aikman.
Do we think that Brady has the Raiders worm? Don't say
suck. I don't know if he's ever going to broadcast a Raiders game. You think there'd be Fox's? You think there'd be NFL game of the week?
Yeah, could he even? Well, the Raiders would have to be
game
good.
Of the week. Sure won't be game of the week.
All right. 215-592-9494 is the
Geno? Geno went to the Raiders, right?
Geno, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll. I'm saying, like, who's their quarterback?
Yeah. Pete Carroll. That's a good hire, I guess.
Well, could be. Yeah. Game of the week.
Don't let him heat up.
Yeah. Well, they would love, I think, for the Raiders to be. I mean, the Raiders was at one point in the NFL was a glamour franchise. All right, 215-592-9494. Does the Phillies lineup actually matter? I think it is an enormous deal that Trey Turner isn't. They're not committing to Trey Turner being the leadoff hitter every game. And for next question today, it is Peyton Manning's birthday. So give us somebody who is great at two things. Coming up next, Jack mentioned a question to me about the Eagles, the era of the post-McNabb sort of pre-Jalen Eagles. Mm. That, I think, is a very interesting question that we will debate next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.